got up to the Gemara at the bottom of Peichas and Mabes, the Gemara told us this idea of Tekamas Usha, and we're now trying to prove its existence from any Tanaic sources we could find. Amar of Edi bar Avin Afan Anami Tanina, Midimanu Bish Ploni Shigirsas Ishto, Venasan Ksuvasa. So Edim basically falsely testify, as we'll see in a moment, that the husband has paid his ksuba. So effectively, they're causing her to lose her ksuba should the ksuba eventually become collectible. V'harei, hitachta m'shamashta m'nimsezomimim. Turns out this was a big lie, and he never divorced her, and he certainly never gave her the ksuba. So in reality, the ksuba isn't nitan l'gvos. Ein omrim kamishamu kol ksubasa. So how much do the Edom have to pay? So we know that we always figure out kasher zamam, how much loss did they cause? Let's say her ksuba was 200 zuz. So maybe you'd think that you should pay her, the Edom Zomimin should pay her 200 zuz. No, we don't say that. Ela tovas hana ksubasa. You only pay her the tovas hana. Why is that? Because this ksuba might never have become collectible. For example, the husband might not divorce her, or she might die before the husband. That's why, as Rashi explains, we have to be talking about a case where she's tachtav, because if actually he had divorced her, then perhaps the Edom Zomim would have to pay the entire ksuba, not just the tovas hana shebo. So, Ezo Tovas Hanas Ksubasa. So how do we figure that out? What is the Tovas Hanav the Ksuba? Now, there's a Tovas Hanav the Ksuba is the present value of the Ksuba. The present value of the Ksuba is significantly less than the face value of the Ksuba. The face value of the Ksuba is, let's say, 200 zuz. But there are many uncertainties with respect to whether the ksuba will ever become collectible. So what's the ksuba worth now? That is the tovas hanas ksuba. And that's what these edim were trying to be mafsid the isha. So that's what they have to pay her. So how do you figure out what is the tovas hanas ksuba? So omdim kamadim rotzalit ksuba shel zu shem nis armela omnis garsha v'imesa yoshana baila. In other words, you go ahead and you figure out what would the market value of the ksuba be at this point. So there are actuaries who make tabulations, right? We have a future actuary over here, and you have to figure out all sorts of statistics, life expectancy of him, of her, divorce, whatever it is, that's going to determine. V'salkadaitach, lasalatakanas usha. Let's say there is no such thing as Takana Susha. So what would that mean? That means a woman could sell her ksuba, and if she does, then the husband wouldn't be Yoresh, the Nechse Malog. So if there was no such thing as Takana Susha, Amayir Shena Baila Tazin Ksuba Zalagamri. In other words, we're now, for some reason, focusing on the Nechse Malug component of the Ksuba. With respect to the Nechse Malug component of the Ksuba, so what's that going to be worth? So if you hold of Takana Susha, so I talked before about a 200 Zuz Ksuba, but that's actually not what we're assuming at this point. We're focusing on the Nechse Malug. So let's say she has Nechse Malug valued at $1 million. So if she were to sell it, then Mimanav Shach, the Lokeach, would get it if you don't have Takana Susha. Why? Because if the husband divorces her, then the Lokeach will get it. If the husband dies, the Lokeach will get it. And if she dies, the Lokeach will get it. So there's no reason why the Tovas Hanas should be very different than the face value of the Nechse Malug. Maybe it won't be the same, because there's still time till it will be paid out, the future value of money, uncertainties and the like, but really the Tovas Hanah won't be very different, and it could be that Halacha doesn't even take those factors into account due to the prohibition against ribis and the like. So either way, the Gemara seems to be taking for granted that there is such a thing as takanas usha. Amar Abaye, Imam Rabbi Nechzei Maluk, Yom Rabbi Nechzei Tzom Barzel. No. What about Nechzei Tzom Barzel? Why are Nechzei Tzom Barzel different? Let's look at Rashi. Imam Rabbi Nechzei Maluk, Shetucha Lemochran, Vena Bal Motzi Miyad Alokucho, Sharei, and Pichsu Pichsu La, Vimos Yorsi La. Maybe when it comes to Nechzei Maluk, the woman is able to sell that, and Lassel Takanas Usha. Why? Nechzei Maluk are basically hers. Should these go up in value, she benefits. Should the land go down in value, she loses. Whereas Nechzei Tzom Barzel are different. What is Nechzei Tzom Barzel? Ksubasa dahinu nedunya shechnisa lo b'shuma mi-beis aviyah. The nedunya, the dowry that she brought in to the marriage from beis aviyah, or it could be her own, that were evaluated at a certain amount in the ksuba. In other words, when it comes to Nechzei Maluk, it doesn't say she brought karka worth $1 million into the marriage. It says on the ksuba she brought in such and such land to the marriage, this property, and the Baal Zohar pagos. When it comes to Nechzei Tzom Barzel, it says she brought in X, Y, and Z that are valued at $300,000. And the husband takes a chraya. So even if the value of those properties goes down, $300,000 to $100,000, he has to pay her $100,000 should the ksuba be paid out, let's say, a divorce. And the reverse, if it goes up in value, so the husband will benefit. Umekabel alav chasan achrayas v'pichsu pichsu lo v'mos yosu lo k'dam rinan b'yvamos v'amano v'ingado nechzen tzor bazel v'chazma oni b'achrayas v'mekabel ashalim k'ein barzel. That's what we call the Nechzei Tzom Barzel. They're guaranteed. Like Barzel Zet, Shukasha, Lios, Poches. Bazan Vade Lomatsu Mizamna. So can she sell Nechzei Tzom Barzel? Clearly not. Why? Because effectively they're the Baals. Nechzei Tzom Barzel are basically like belonging to the husband, and he accepts upon himself a chov to pay back the value of these Nechasim should the ksuba be paid out. Again, could be that this is a discussion in a Gemara. Could be that he actually, if they're round, he should return them. But fundamentally, they don't belong to her anymore. And therefore, it's obvious that even without takanas usha, she would not be able to sell them. And therefore, with respect to Tzom Barzel, that's where there's going to be a drastic difference between the face value of the Nechzei Tzom Barzel on the ksuba versus the tovas hana on these Nechzei Tzom Barzel, because in fact there's a 50% chance or more that these will never be collectible. Now, it's interesting why we even answer Tzom Barzel and not just the Iker ksuba, and that's an issue the Rishonim deal with. Amar Abaye. So let's talk about this. It's such an interesting topic. So what actually happens when a woman sells her ksuba for tovas hana? We know that with respect to certain things, we know that with nechzei maluk, so the husband's ochel peros. And with respect to certain things, that's certainly true with respect to the Nechzei Maluk that she brings into the marriage, but even things that she gets during the marriage, like Yerusha, so we say that the Guf is Shala and the Baal Zohar Peros. So how do we relate to Tovas Hana of the Ksuba? Would we say that the husband, Avada, she keeps the guf, but maybe the husband should be ochel peros? Or maybe the whole thing should be like seen as peros, in which case the husband gets the whole thing. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, the Gemara is saying, is that they go to the Isha. Why would they do that? So that's going to be explained by Rava in just a minute. But first the proof. My afsedineich. The whole idea of the Edim Zamanin is that Kasher Zaman, they have to pay what the damage, the harm that they caused, in this case, the woman. So if they were trying to cause her a loss of $100, so they have to pay her $100. Now, the Tovas Hanah were saying they damaged her by causing her to lose the value of the Tovas Hanah. Let's imagine that Tzon Barzel were valued at $300, but the Tovas Hanah is worth $100. So they caused her a loss of $100. Now let's say you assumed that the Tovas Hanah went to the Baal. So then they weren't causing her a loss of $100 because she wouldn't get that money anyway. The Baal would get it. Now, as we've shown him deal with over here, it's a little complicated, so maybe they should pay the Baal. But that's a little tricky because they were actually helping the Baal with their false testimony by saying that the Ksuba was already paid. Anyway, again, we've shown him deal with that issue. But that's not really our concern at present. Our concern at present is that the fact that we pay out the entire Ksuba Sanat to the Isha shows that the Isha must keep the Tovas Hanah. Amar Rav Shalman, Mishum Dikar Vachad Revach Besa. No, not true. Even if the Tovas Hanah would go to the husband. But that's great. Like, let's imagine, all of a sudden I would have this, walking home tonight from the kollel, I would find $10,000 on the floor. So even though it doesn't go to my wife, but it would be great for her. Now, instead of buying, generic brands, we'd be able to buy name brands or whatever. I don't know exactly what I would do with $10,000. Baruch Hashem, we're very rich. But whatever it is, there's, even if she doesn't get the money directly, but there's revach beitza, there's plenty of cash flowing around, and the whole home enjoys the benefit. We would have steak every night for supper. It was unbelievable. Except during the 9 days, then we would have sushi every night. So even though the money comes to me, not my wife, she's going to enjoy it because now she gets sushi every night. I don't think she likes sushi, but theoretically. We live in Washington Heights where they're already very simple people. But,
out of town.
Right, out of town. Out of town, they don't have sushi. And that guy is sushi. It's just a New York thing and a Japanese thing. So I'm a Rava. So anyway, so that's the point. Now, this also brings up another very interesting question, which again, we're not going to get into now because it's not so much our sugya. But then you should say, well, the Edom, should they pay her? The Zoymimim, should they pay her the entire amount of Tovas Hanah? Or maybe the value of Revach Besa? And if so, how would you calculate that? And the like. Amar Rava, Hilchasa Tovas Hanah Leisha. So regardless of whether that proof is a good proof, the din of Abaye is still true. The Tovas Hanah is Leisha. Ve'enabal ochal peros. And not only is it the case that she gets the Tovas Hanah, but she also keeps the peros from the Tovas Hanah. In other words, you might have said, okay, she gets the Tovas Hanah. In other words, if originally she had $300 in Nechse Malug, and now, let's say, she sells the Tovas Hanah for Nechse Tzon Barzel for another $100, so now it's Kilu, she has $400 in Nechse Malug, and on all 400 of those dollars, the Baal is Ochel Peros. No, not only does she get the Tovas Hanah of keep the Tovas Hanah, the Guf, but also the Schus Peros, as opposed to, let's say, Yerusha, that would be bequeathed to her. My time, huh? Peir Takinolei Rabbanan, Peir de Peir Lo Takinolei Rabbanan. Now that we've shown them, I'll point out here, starting with Tosfos, that this isn't literally true, or it's not what we always mean when we talk about Peira and Peiri Peiri. For example, let's say the husband is Zochan Peiros of the Nechse Malug. He's also Zochan Peiri Peiros. Let's say there's an orchard that produces apples, and you sold those apples and it produced more Peiros or something like that. So he gets the Peiri Peiros. So as the Rishonim explain what we mean over here, let's read Tosfos, though. Peiri, the Peiri Lotkin Rabbanan, Hainu B'mili, Dasumi Alma, Kigon Tovas Hanah, Dixubasa, Kigon Goni Vlad, Beimus Malug, Dimashalm Kefal Isha, because that's considered Peiri Peira. Mishon Dolotkin Rabbanan, Peiri Peira, Aval, per de pera dasi negufe, pero de pera that comes from the guf, like the orchard. Kigon vlad vlados behemas malug, or vlad vlados pshita takinu le rabbanan. Of course he gets that. That's part of the whole takana. Good. Kiyasa Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Mibay Rav Amri, Tanina Otakana Zusha, Ha'ev, Ed Vehaisha, Pkiyasan Ra. We know from our Mishnah that Ed Vehaisha Pkiyasan Ra. What does that mean? Achol Bahan Chayev, Ein Shalu Bacherim, Pturim. That when a woman, that's our focus for here, married woman, is Choval Bacherim, tough luck on them. They don't get paid anything, at least as long as she's married. Let's say, so she has an asset from which the Nizak should be able to collect, namely, Tova Sana. We'll tell her to sell her Ksuba and raise some funds and pay the damage that she caused. If Yasan Ra, it's because of the presumption that she has no assets, no way of paying. Ulataimech, Nihinami de Ise Latakanasusha, Velomatsi Mizavna Lagamre, Tazin Lanichse Milog, Vitaibasana, Vitite Mitle, Ella de Lesla, Achanami de Lesla. No, this isn't a good deal. Let's see hold of Takana Susha. So she can't sell them entirely, her Nechse Malok. But she could still sell them to Tova Sana. Meaning to say, without Takana Susha, she has a Nechse Malok valued at $1 million. Without Takana Susha, she could get $1 million for it. With Takana Susha, she could get $400,000 for it. Or $600,000 for it, whatever it is. So, this is you have to make a new Kimta. That when the Mishnah says Piyasan Ra means she has no Nechsei Malog. She has no Nechsei Malog. So then you have no Raya for Takana Susha. Now, sort of interesting, and we're going to talk about this more on Amud Beis when we get to the Sheet of the Rashi and the Rambam. But if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, it does sound like she has. She has Nechse Malok. Because what did Rashi say on the Mishnah? Chayavin L'Shalim, Nizkar Sha'isha, V'Nishtach Eved, V'Kanu L'Chasim, Chayavin L'Shalim, Sharei, Mitchila, Hein Chayavin, Ela, She'en L'Hamma L'Shalim, She'en Nechse Malok Shalisha, M'Shuvadim L'Ba'la, Perishul Yerusha. Sounds like she had a Nechsei Malok. It's just that they were Meshubad. So the question basically is going to be like this. And that Diyuk, by the way, it's not my Diyuk. I think the Diyuk is in Hagos HaShri on the Rush. We'll see it soon. But what you have to say is, well, I won't say what you have to say yet, but the question is going to be, what we have to keep an open mind about is whether lemaskanas ha-gemara, after we answer all the other questions, like about ikar ksuba and the like, whether we still need to make this ukimta or not. In other words, lemaskanas ha-gemara, will we say that an isha that has nechsei malug would be obligated to sell them in order to pay her damage that she caused another person or not? So we'll leave that right now as an open question, and that's going to be a major issue. Hopefully we'll get to it today, but if not tomorrow, you should certainly look into it when you're investigating the Sheet of the Rif and the Rambam. There's a Shilta Yiborim on this topic, the Rush, of course, and the like. So right now we'll just leave it as a question. When we say Hachanami de Lesla, is that Ukimta going to stand Lamaskana? Or Lamaskana, perhaps, we don't need to come out of that And again, can't always bring too much raya from the Mishnah, Rashi and the Mishnah. Rashi and the Mishnah might just be like Tavim and Gemara and Kedarko. But it'll certainly be a question within the Rambam than others. Okay, let's go on for now. V'tazvin k'subasa b'tovas hana. V'titein lai. So one second. Maybe you could make the ukimta that she doesn't have nechsei maluk. Not everybody has nechsei maluk. But she has a k'suba. So sell that. Haman, even maybe. Damar aser lo la'adim shisha es ishto. Afilu sha'achas b'lo k'suba. The halacha is that, according to Meir, one may not be married even for one moment without a ksuba. That's why, for example, if someone loses their ksuba, they have to write a ksuba d'irchasa. You have to write a replacement ksuba. So the point is that if we were to tell her to sell her ksuba, she would have no ksuba, and they wouldn't be able to be married. So we don't do that. We don't basically make her get divorced effectively in order to pay her chovos from the damage she caused. And therefore, she doesn't have to sell her ksuba. The time of my, what is the reason for a mayor? Why does he say that this is true? Kadesh lo take alabain of lotzia. The idea, part of the idea of the ksuba, is that we don't want it easy. We want a high bar to get divorced. We don't want the chves, husband and wife, get into a fight. He says, all right, fine. If that's the way you feel, I'm divorcing you, and go divorce. We need it to be very expensive to get divorced. So that's why there's an isser. So now, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, so it's still the bar to get divorced. It's very expensive, even if she sells the ksuba. It's still going to cost him 200 zuz to get divorced. Why? Because Hacha alo megarishla di megarishla asu atu hanach dezavni gavul alaksubasa minei. Whoever he still has that same high bar to divorce. It's still expensive. It costs thousands of dollars to get divorced. Doesn't matter whether he happens to have to pay her the ksuba or pay the lokeach the ksuba. Either way, the goal of the ksuba is achieved. So therefore, there's no reason why, even according to Meir, we would not obligate her to sell her ksuba. And therefore, why does the Mishnah say, Giyasan ma? Ela, tovas hana, mili minhu. Mili lo mishabdi. Tovas hana is mili. And mili are not mishtabed. I'm going to talk more exactly about what we mean by this word mili. But these are, what is mishubed for paying your debts? For example, paying the damage you caused. We know that if a person doesn't have any assets, like in this case we're saying the married woman essentially has no assets, so you don't have to pay. If you have assets, you have to pay. So the tovas hana is mili. It's not an asset. It's not real. It's the ability to do something to get money. So that is not meshubad to your chavos. Lemashal. This isn't exactly the same, but just to appreciate it. A person does not, let's say, has no money to pay their debts. Do they have to sell themselves as an evet to pay their debts? Certainly not. Maybe in Zela we have a concept of machru beisdin, but just because I have a way of getting some money, that is not, I could also stand on my head and spit wooden nickels for money. And wooden nickels, they can't pay my debts with wooden nickels. But. So the point is that this is not something that she would be obligated to do in order to raise funds, in order to pay her debt. So the Gemara says, Alama lo, mili dimizdavni bedinare ninu. It's not true. Anything that she owns that could be sold for money is mishtabed. And therefore, since practically speaking, she could sell her ksuba for money, then it's mishubed. Maybe we'll talk about what the back and forth over here is. It's very interesting, but let's finish the Gemara first. So what's this idea? Again, we're saying that since Lemaisa, she's able to sell her ksuba for tovas hana, and that would give her money. So therefore, since she's chayv to pay the person she damaged, she should have to do that to get the money. El mishum d'shmuel. Damer shmuel amalcha shtachov l'chaveru v'chazir machl machl. Nathilu yarish malcha. We're going to discuss this at length in just a couple of minutes, but the idea is that when she sells her ksuba for tovas hanan, so even though the lokeach will have the legal right to collect the ksuba from the husband should he divorce her or should he die from his estate, nevertheless, should she be mocheles, then he would lose that right. Even though he bought it, he would lose it. Why that is, we're going to talk about. But Shmuel says it's remarkable and surprising halacha that when you sell a chov, on the one hand, you know, you would have imagined, okay, maybe you can't sell a chov, right? That's how the prime mortgage, the whole recession, you know, started by people selling debt, subprime debt. It all started with mechiras chovos. They would make lousy mortgages, and then the banks would sell them until finally the people got a bunch of worthless garbage. And then the economy went into the tubes. But the point is that, so maybe you could have said there's no such thing as mechiras shtaros. Okay. But what's interesting is that Shmuel said, well, you actually can have mechiras shtaros. But at the same time, the mocher, the original malva could be a mocher. So why that is, we'll talk about it in a moment. But one way or the other, it's true, according to Shmuel. So therefore, what's going to happen? She's going to sell her ksuba for tovas hanah, and then she'll raise $100, let's say. She'll give that $100 to the nizak, and then she'll be mochel the ksuba, and the malva, the lokeach, will have been ripped off. So, Amre, Zvune Zavin, Vititein Lai, Vimachla Lai, Lagabe Baal, Timchala. So we have a solution. That's not a good solution, selling the ksuba to a random party, because she'll rip them off. Chazam don't want to be misaking a takana that will cause a hefset to the lukuchos. But there's a better solution. What's the solution? She'll sell it to the nizak. Why? Because manashach can't hurt. Anyway, he's getting nothing. So he's getting nothing. So at least if she is not mochel, so he gets something. And if she is mochel, so, zero is no less than zero. So,
I was thinking she's a gift to him. Is he going to pay for the tovas hanah? Like,
well, what will exactly value the tovas hanah, right? The tovas hanah of this ksuba is $100. The face value is $300. The tovas hanah is $100. So, we're going to, if she caused $100 in damage, so she'll give, by giving him that ksuba, she's basically paid her debt of $100.
So if she gets divorced one day and she gets money, would she have to repay him?
No. So that's... So we're going to talk about that. It's a very good question. What you're picking up on is the key to understanding this Gemara. Because if you're not correct, we'll spell it out in a moment, the Gemara doesn't make an iota of sense. But let's just let the Gemara spell it out. So the Gemara says, Amri, kol gabe baal vade machla. Yeah, you're right. You know, you could have said zero is no worse than zero, but zero is no better than zero. We know what for sure is going to happen. She is going to be mochel. Normally, what's the reason why a woman isn't mochel in the ksuba? Because she likes her husband, but she also is interested in herself. She knows that it's worthwhile for her to have a ksuba. So that should she be divorced or should she be an almana, she'll have some money. But once she's not getting the ksuba anyway, she likes her husband, even if they don't get along so well, a lot better than she likes the guy who she beat up, who sued her in court, right? So for sure she's going to be mochel. So this is basically just a waste of time, this etza. right? Kol gabi ba badi machlalei v'afsidine lahu zvina biyadayim lo afsidinu. It's interesting, Hari, you're also bringing up, which is that, you know, once you hold Now, I'd like to go back to your question. And the question is like this. What does he gain? What did he gain? The nizak. In other words, like this. What do we say? The Gemara says, I have a great etza. The etza is that she should sell the ksuba to the nizak, and manashach, right? So the answer to the question is, let's say she doesn't sell the ksuba, right? Let's say she doesn't sell the ksuba. So when is the nizak going to get paid? When he divorces her, right? And let's say she does sell the ksuba. When is the nizak going to be paid? When he divorces her. So what have we been marviach? The Gemara clearly indicates that this would solve our problem. This would make things great. Except for the technicality that we know that for sure she's always going to be malchalas legabi maila. But other than that minor technicality, right? This would solve our problem. We finally have a way to make sure that the nizak gets paid. And how is that? We go ahead and we say that she should give him her ksuba. But I don't understand one tiny bit, because the nizak doesn't benefit at all. If we do nothing, we don't sell him her ksuba, then he gets paid when she gets divorced, right?
If she has property.
Well, then she has nothing, so then he's never going to need any time. But the point is that if you're selling a ksuba, it's because she has something in the ksuba. The ksuba is worth something. Forget the property. The ikker ksuba.
Yeah, but so ikker is better what she has. That's the husband's.
Right, the
what
point
she has
is...
nothing, though?
It doesn't matter. The point is that if the Gemara is saying, sell her ksuba, right, the reason why the ksuba is value is because there is an expectation that it's going to be paid out upon the death of the husband or her divorce. So the reason why the ksuba has any value is because of the expectation that it's going to get paid out. So if it's going to get paid out, well, when will it get paid out? When he dies or when he divorces her. So at that point, he's going to get the money anyway. So this way, when he goes ahead and we say to him, sell her the ksuba b'tayvah sana, does he get any money immediately? No. What does he get? A piece of paper. That's it. Right? He now has a piece of paper that says, when this lady is divorced, I get money. Great. And if he doesn't sell her the ksuba, what's the halacha? When this lady gets divorced, he gets the money. So why is this such a good etza?
Well, presumably the shtar itself, the ksuba is going to be more than the damage. Sell that himself, or he can hang on.
Well, he's selling it more. Himself.
Well,
isn't going to
market,
right? But she, but for the same reason that that it didn't work before, selling it on the market, because she's going to be mochalas, won't really work here. But your first thing you said is, I think, the other answer, right? The first thing you said is what you said. The second thing might also be true, but the first thing you said is much more straightforward answer, which is that this is potentially a windfall. Why? Because what is the taifa sana of the ksuba? Like we said, let's imagine the face value of the ksuba is $1,000. The taifa sana of the ksuba is $400. Let's say she caused $400 of damage. So we're going to say she should give him the taifa sana of the ksuba. So she gives him her ksuba for the $400 of damage. And now what happens? Should he divorce his wife, how much does he get? 1,000. right? So it's a gamble, because if he doesn't divorce her, and if she dies first, he gets zero. But Marav Shach is going to get zero. In other words, if we don't say, give him the Ksuba B'Tovasana, then if he divorces her, he'll get 400. And if she dies first, he gets zero. And now basically what we're saying is, if she gives him the Ksuba, if he doesn't divorce her, he gets zero. That's zero either way. But if he does divorce her, then he gets 1,000, right? And even though he only was damaged $400 worth, he's going to get 1,000. So this is really great for him. Were it not for the fact that, like the Gemara says, oh, for sure she's going to be mochalas because she hates this guy. At least she likes her husband a little more. But other than that minor detail, this is great for him. Now, it's a chiddush, actually, that we would do this. In other words, you might have thought that even though a person has to give up whatever assets they have, except, of course, what's minimally necessary to live, but they have to give up whatever assets they have in order to pay their debts, maybe we wouldn't obligate that person to sell it at a loss, which is exactly what we're doing to this woman. We're saying that you have $1,000 of ksuba, you have to sell it for $400. The truth is, we already realized that in the first stage of the Gemara. But that's what's effectively happening here. And the answer is, yes, you have to do that. And why? Because like the Gemara said, that even mili that are mizdavni bedinari, so those have to be sold in order to pay off your debts, to pay the damage that you caused. So that's exactly what's happening over here. So were it to work, this would definitely solve the problem. It wouldn't be the case that women are pgiyas on ra. So, but the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not going to work because Lamaisa, she's going to be mochalas. Yeah.
So we asked, the way you asked was, and how do we know what's different? Anyways, I'm going to get paid when she gets divorced. And the answer, whatever, also is that it's a waste of time. But isn't it stronger than that? Isn't it much worse for him potentially? Because if we don't make her do this, sell it, so when they get divorced,
he gets $400.
It's $400. But
now he gets 1,000.
But if we make her sell it to him and she's mocheles, he's end up getting zero forever. Even if she becomes a billionaire,
so that's zero. That's the Gemara's answer.
Whereas it's like a waste of time. It's always a lot worse for him.
So you're correct. He, even in the Havamina of the Gemara, presumably the Gemara said, well, if she becomes a billionaire later, also she would, and he divorces her, he would collect.
Nechba will collect even if he got
to Zanar. No, not if he gets to Zanar. Correct. So you're correct. Now, there's presumably the Havamina of the Gemara is that this would be a gamble that he could take. In other words, don't say Pagiyasa. Now, if he says, no, I'd rather take the more conservative route and wait till he divorces and not take the risk of Nechila, then he could do that. That's his choice. But it might very well be that this is in his best interest, especially if we don't see a mechila as likely. But you're correct, I agree. I think that we wouldn't force him to do this or even necessarily encourage him to do this, but rather give him the option to do this.
Isn't that the Shakhtar of the Tosas on Peitas and Beis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, I'd like to talk for a couple of minutes, and we'll finish the Gemara, about this principle that I guess the Gemara says over here, a very radical idea, as we noted before, that even though Mechir Shtaros works, Amochir Shtarchov L'Chaver V'Chazal Machlo, Machlo. So why is that? This is an idea that comes up in a number of places in Shas, and we'll see four approaches in the Rishona, maybe more, but four schools of thought, within each school of thought, perhaps multiple possibilities in the Rishona, why this is true. And we'll look at the Rishonim that I gave you this morning, because for the most part, the Rishonim are not on our sugya. We'll start with the Tosfos HaRosh Kiddushin Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So the Tosfos HaRosh basically asks the question, why does Mechila work? Tzarech l'michtav le'kenilach ihu v'chol shibudei. The context here is that since emili l'mimzor l'niknas b'mesiras, so when you sell a shtarchov, you can't just hand over the shtarchov, but you have to write a shtar kilu on the shtar. That the mocher of the shtarchov writes a lokech of the shtarchov kenilach ihu v'chol shibudei. So your kone, the shibud, that is written in this shtar. Perek mishameis, mashmah dechir shtar chov, medrabanam, be'alma. That this concept, that I could be mocher shtar chov, in our Gemara we're talking about a ksuba, but it's true for any shtar chov, is only effective medrabanam. Etekamar asam, v'rav amar, rav nachman, man ashkemi ra, medrabanam. Uparach v'amar, rav nachman, af agav, damar shmuel, mocher shtar chov, chavero, lechazam machlo, machlo. I feel yoyrei shmochal, modish mol shem nasno b'matana shchiv meira shenu yachol limchol liyamir bishlamam deoraisa hayne shenu yachol limchol aliyamir drabanan amayenu yachol limchol. The Gemara says like this: if matana shchiv meira was midrabanan, so then it should have been that when you give over a chov as a matana shchiv meira, so the nosim could still be mochel. But the halacha is, even though when you're mocher shtarchov, the mocher could be mochel, when you give away a chov in a matna shchiv meira, so then he can't be mochel. So that teaches us, matna shchiv meira is deoraisa. So the Gemara says, no, maybe they made it stronger, even if it's derabanan, but what's relevant for us, says the Tosfos HaRosh, is the following. What the Gemara basically takes for granted is that any time Mechila works, that's because the Mechira, or the transfer, is only Midrabanan. And in fact, that would be the reason, presumably, why Mechila works. Why is it that HaMochar Shtachol HaChavez Chazal Machol is Machol? Because Mechiras Chovos is only Midrabanan. The Tema, Kevan, Shekasav Lo, Kenilach Ihu, V'chol Shibudai, Amai, Lo Kani Midiraisa, Fellow Karka Niknes, Bekesef, Bishtar, V'chazaka. Why is it only Midrabanan? Should be Midiraisa. After all, the Mocher writes to the Lokayach on the Shtar, Kenilach, Ihu b'chol shibudei. So it should, after all, effectively cause the transfer of the chov and allow the lokayach to collect the chov midiraisa. So why is it that it's only midirabanan? Now, in his question, he writes, why would I think it should work midiraisa? The lo karka niknes b'kesef shtar chazaka. Meaning to say that we are looking at this chov as karka, presumably because of the shibud nechasim, the shibud on the karka. And therefore, since we're looking at the chov as karka, or at least as rooted in karka, so if a shtar works for mechiras karka, so a shtar should work for mechiras achov, because of that shibud nechasim. Right? Since again, you have to write a shtar on the shtar, because osios are not niknos misira, so then the shtar should work. So, says the Tosfos HaRosh. So again, the question is, why is it mechir shtar chov midiraisa? V'yesh lomar. Kevan de lo asi liyade ve'eno ala shibud be'alma lo matzi makni. Meaning to say, don't look at a chov as karka, such that any any kinyan that would work for karka would work for a chov. No, it's not true. A chov is not karka. A chov is only shibud ba'alma. It's a shibud, but it's not karka. And therefore, lo matzimakni lai. It cannot be nikna. You can't transfer it. Now, an interesting question here, which is, we could only speculate, I think, because he doesn't really tell you, but, you know, mekar maikasava levasof maikasava. Originally, he assumed that it's karka, and lemaskana, he says, it's not, it's only a shibud, it's not karka. So one possibility that Tyler suggested is based off of a Ritva and Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And this gets to a very fundamental question, which is, what is Shibud and how does it work? So the Ritva over there writes that Shibud is a kinyan l'chatzayim. The Ritva writes over there, V'tayim ha'demanda amar Shibud alav de'raisa, mishum desavar she'en ha'kna'a l'chatzayim, v'shibud kinyan l'chatzayim. The reason for the opinion of Shibud alav de'raisa, we know that there's a debate whether Shibud de'raisa or Shibud alav de'raisa. If you hold Shibud de'raisa, then the de'raisa, even without a shtar, you can collect from the nechasim of the loan. If you hold Shibud alav de'raisa, it's just a takana. If you hold Shibud de'raisa, then Shibud nechasim is automatic, and the chachamim limited it to a milva b'shtar, for which there's a call, and they didn't allow it for milva al pas, so as to protect the lakuchos. If you hold Shibud alav de'raisa, so then it doesn't work even for a milva b'shtar, and the Rabbanim, they were misaking that it works for a milva b'shtar. But one way or the other, the question is, what in the world, why wouldn't you say Shibud is de'raisa? Right? Let's even say you stated explicitly in the shtar that there's a Shibud, right? I borrow money from you, I borrow $100 from you, and I write you a document that says, I hereby agree to pay you $100, and all of my assets are meshugud for the collection of that debt. So why wouldn't that work? Why would you say shibud alav de'raisa? And the answer is because shibud is a kinyan l'chatzayin, and that doesn't work on a de'raisa level. And according to the man de Amar Shibud de Ayraisa, so it does work. It does work. The way the Ritva actually puts it is, Kasavar Shibud de Ayraisa, Afagav, Dein Hakna Lachatzain, Vein Hakna Vidar Shalo, Vershuso, Haino Hakna Gemura, Vel Shibuda, De Mitla Tali Vekai, Chayel, Anichse, De Hashta, Anichse, De Akne, Kolhecha, De Isno, Vershus, and Nihas. Anyhow, going back to the Tosa Rush, perhaps, the Tosa Rush originally learned, like the Ritva, that Shibuda is a Miktsas Kinyan, so therefore it should work. Just like Shtar works for Karka, so too Shtar should work for Shibud. And in his answer, so you could have just said, well, he says no, that like the Ritva as well, that Miktsas Kinyan is not nitan l'mechira, but perhaps it's a little more meduyak. His answer is it's only a shibud ba'alma, meaning to say shibud is not a Miktsas Kinyan. What is it? It's an obligation to pay that even allows for the collection from karka, but it's not a kinyan, and therefore it's not nitan for kinyan, so it can't be transferred. That's what the Ritva answers. So therefore, basically, what the Ritva is, So Tosa Rush is answering is that since Shibud is just a Shibud Alma, right? And even though you might have a zchus to be gove karka, but it's still just a Shibud Alma, so therefore it's not nitan for kinyan, and that's why kinyan shtaros is only me dirabanan, and that presumably explains why mechila will work. We'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, I know we're going to be using a lot of terms like mixus kinyan and Shibud and the like, and hopefully, over the next couple of shiurim, we'll actually have a much better understanding of some of these terms. We'll try our best as we go through. The Tosaf Rosh then asks a technical question that Rav Lazar Mimitz asks, that there's a sugya that says that there's such a thing as omna midoraisa from shtaros. There's a drasha to be mamayit, omna midoraisa from shtaros. And if you hold that, mechira shtaros is omna deravanan, why do you need a drasha to lamayit meona? Obviously, they don't even exist midoraisa. The answer is, you could give a technical answer to that question. We don't have to read it now. So that is the first approach. Along similar lines, though perhaps for a different reason, you have another very fascinating approach of Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted in the Nebuka Yosef in Bava Basra. And he writes, it's a Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the Da Be Harif, he writes a very fascinating thing. It's on the sugya of Ein Osios Niknos B'Mesira. I'm sorry, I didn't put it on your sheets. So Ein Osios Niknos B'Mesira Levad, Sharei Lo Maser Lo Anachas Mem Shubadim, Elan Yar Be'Alma, meaning to say, if I give you my shtar, you can't collect from my shtar because I just gave you a piece of paper. But I didn't give you the nechasim hamishuabadim. Ve'ikar akinyan rishon hashibatu, hilkach eniknin ela b'ksivu mesiras. So, since the goal of mechir shtaros is to be makna the shibud, so to be makna the shibud, you need ksiva b'mesira. And won't read the whole thing, but he deals with a very interesting question as to what other forms of kinyan work. In other words, we know that if I hand you my shtar, plus I write a shtar on the shtar, so then that allows you to collect my debts. But what about if we do a kinyan? Kinyan meaning chalipin. I'm going to do a kinyan. I'm going to give you my shtar. This allows you to collect from Tyler. Plus, we're going to do a kinyan chalipin. So maybe you would think that for sure would work. Why? Because we know that a kinyan chalipin is even more versatile than a kinyan b'shtar. Shtar only works for karka. Chalipin works for karka and metaltalin. So for sure, a kinyan chalipin should work. So he quotes the Reb Magash as saying, but it doesn't work. Why not? Reb Magash didn't explain. But Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Rabbeinu Yonah Zatzal Kivase. Sorry, because Rabbeinu Yonah Zatzal Kivase, Rabbeinu Yonah learns like that Reb Magash, and he explains. If you have time, he'll say, Mishem Dekinyin Maya Vidite. Shari Ayan Adam Yachal Haknos L'Chaveo Kakos Ham Shubadim Lo. Kevan De'achshav Eino Shelo. Da Eino Yachal Akdisha. The reason why I can't be makna my karkos hamishubadim lo is because they're not really mine. In other words, I want to sell my shtar, my chov, to you. Right? Now, well, my shtar, right, Tyler owes me $1,000, and Tyler's karka is meshubad to that debt. Well, if I owned the karka, then I could surely transfer it to you with a shtar or with chalipin as I wish. But do I really already have Tyler's karka? No, I don't. What do I have? I have a zchus. I don't have that. He writes again. Ein adam yachol haknos l'chaver karkos am shubadim lo. Kem dashav enam shalo. Da'ino yachol akdishan. Could I be makdish Tyler's property? No. Why? Dekamalan kirava. Damar bal chov, mikamalan bo, gove. So this is actually very interesting. We know that there's a debate as to whether bal chov is kona lemafreya or mikanu la'ba. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, we pass them like Rava, that bal chov is gove mikanu la'ba. So until I get those karkos from Tyler, they're not mine. They're still Tyler's. I have a shibud, I have a schus, whatever that means. But they're not my karka. So I couldn't be makdish them. And therefore, since they're not mine, I can't sell them to you either using, let's say, chalipin. Elevadai mechira shtari b'ksivo mesira mitakanas hachamimi. Must be that it's takanas hachamim. I can't transfer that chov to you Midaraisa, whether I use chalitin or shtar, the like. It's takana drabanan. Shuchal adam limkor eschoval. Right? As we see from the Gemara that shows us that Tosa Rosh quoted, that's only drabanan. The tiknu, dekevan shitsarech lemeimar leikini lachu v'chol shibuda disbei. Since you have to say kini lachu, in order for you to be able to collect my debts, tzarech shiyu dvarim nechtavim v'lo shiyomar lo kein al peh. You have to write it down, and that's why you need to do a shtar. Okay. If I don't, it's just mealy. And mealy don't work with a kinyan. In other words, if it's not written down, and we do a kinyan chalipin, it's a kinyan chalipin on mealy. Kinyan chalipin on mealy doesn't work. Even though kinyan chalipin is more versatile than a shtar, but it doesn't work on mealy. So therefore, we have to write it down anyway, and that's the answer. Anyway, Tochad Varim, you do see a very interesting thing in this Rabbeinu Yonah. What the Tosa Rush didn't spell out, he spells out. We speculated, why is it that in the Tosa Rush's answer, you can't sell a Midoraisa? He just simply said, the Tosa Rush simply said, well, it's only a Shiva, it can't be transferred. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason is because Mikanu Laba Hugova. Now this is very interesting implications. Now's not the time to get into it, but the implication is that let's say you held Lamafreya Hugova, so then the Malva should have enough of a Zuchus in the Karka to be able to sell it. So A, it would work Midoraisa, and you wouldn't even need to write it. We could do a Kinyan Chalipin on it. But since we hold Mechir Mikanu Abogova, so I don't have enough Zechuyos in the Karka to be able to transfer it to you, Midoraisa. But Midorabam, they're Misakin, and they were Misakin that it could only be done with Ksiva, because otherwise it's Mili. Okay, good. In other words, one way or the other, what these Rishonim are saying is that the reason why Mechila works is because Mechir Shtaros is Drabanan. The reason why it's not Deraisa is due to the intangibility of the Chov. It can't be transferred. There's no way for me to transfer the Chov to you. Because Kinyanim, transference, could be things that are real. This pencil is mine. It's real. I could transfer it to you. It will belong to you. A Chov is not tangible. So therefore, I can't transfer it to you because it's not real. It's a schus, it's a shibud, but it's not nitan to transferability. It's not nitan l'machira. Now, when we look at the Rambam also holds of this mahalich that the reason why mechir shtaros is nitan l'machira is because it's only midrabanan, but there's a very interesting diuk in the Rambam. Take a look at Halacha Yudbeis in the source sheets over here. Perek Vav Halacha Yudbeis, first sheet. Kinyan shtaros b'derech hazos the divrei sofrim. Kinyan shtaros in this manner, namely through ksivo mesira, is only midivrei sofrim. Avol mina Torah in a rayos niknos. Midiraisa rayos are not niknos. Elaguf adaver blavad kanu. Lefikach, hamocha shtar chov lechaveiro, adayin yacholim chov, vafilu yarsho mochal. It's actually interesting because he spelled out what the Tosa Rush was presuming. The Tosa Rush didn't actually say the reason why Mechila works is because it's not deraisa. He just tried to explain why it's not deraisa. But the Rambam spells out that the reason why Mechila works is because it's not deraisa. And why not? Because Minatora in Arayos Nik. Now, first glance, the Rambam seems to be saying exactly what we saw in Rabbeinu Yonah, Natai Sarash, that it's not shayach to be makna, a chov. It's not nitan lakinyan. And that's why it doesn't work in the Darius. However, Reb Chaim has a tremendous diuk. We're not going to read it inside. Now it's on page 1. Really, the Iker part that's relevant for us is on page 2 of your source sheets. But Reb Chaim writes like this. I'll just read you maybe one or two relevant lines. It's from the right column of the second page, halfway through the paragraph, the middle paragraph of the Hinei Tzarchin. The Kinyan Shtar Yochiach, Da'lo Beker Din Mechira V'Zechiyah Shalchov, Harei Milve B'Shtar Milve Al Peshavanein. With the Chazina Deker Rishonim, the Savar Lay, the Kinyan Shtar Moyel Minataira. There are Rishonim. I'm not actually sure who Reb Chaim is referring to, but there are Rishonim. We'll see Rabbeinu Tam does hold Mechir Shtar working with the Reis in a moment, though I don't think that's what Reb Chaim is referring to, Rabbeinu Tam. But anyway, there are Rishonim who hold that Mechir Shtar does work Minataira. Im kein, shma mina, de beikar din akna, de zechia, gam melval pechashi v'davar hanekna. Okay, so that doesn't really tell us very much about the Rambam, necessarily. It might. But it could be that there are some shitos that hold that midoraisa mechir shtaros works. Clearly, again, the Rambam is not of that school of thought. But what does he write? V'afil hanach v'shanon zavali mechir shtaros lo mehaniyem edin tayin. Hine ein Rambam, Perek Vav, Milchus Bechir Lachim Beis, it's our Rambam, Shkas V'zal. Kinyin Shtaros, B'derech HaZos, Medivrei Sofrim, Aval Min HaTorah Ein Harayos Niknos, El Guf HaDavar, Bilbad Kanvi Ad Kav L'Shem Haray. The Kasav Taima, De Lo Mawil Min HaTorah, Mepnei Sh'ein Harayos Niknos, Ve'al Kein, Ein Ein Kinyano Shebehashtar Moel Liknos Esachov. Avlav Hachi, Shapir Haisemo Alas Mechira Bechov. Gamina Torah. Meaning to say, the Rambam, according to Chaim, is very different than the Rishonim we saw thus far. The Rishonim that we saw thus far indicate that Mechira Shtar Chov doesn't work Midai Raisa because it's not Shayach to transfer a chov. Like we said, it's einbo mamish, it's intangible, and therefore it's non-transferable. The Rambam implies that the reason is because there's no kinyan that works. A chov is indeed transferable. It just happens to be that there's no effective kinyan. Now, where does Reb Chaim see this in the Rambam? When we read the Rambam, we didn't notice that. We thought the Rambam was saying the same thing as everybody else, that he's saying, Ein Arayos Niknos. So the Diuk of Reb Chaim is as follows. As Tyler pointed out to me today from Rav Tursky, and it's a Mavur, I think, in the Shirim, Lezefer, Nishma, Sami Mori. The Diuk in the Rambam is really actually a very, very powerful and somewhat subtle Diuk. Which is, the Rambam wrote that Kinyan Shtaros B'Derech HaZos are Medivrei Sofrim, right? Min HaTorah Ein Harayos Niknos. So, that's not what he should have said, if he held like those first we showed him, that we saw. What should have he said? Ein HaChovos Niknos. Right? Remember, the first group of Rishonim that we saw explained that you can't be Makne HaChov. That's the point. It's too intangible to be transferred. But that's not what the Rambam wrote. The Rambam didn't write en achovos niknos, he wrote en rayos niknos, meaning to say that the transfer of the raya, me giving Phil the shtar, is not an effective means of transferring the chov. Because after all, what's the raya? The raya just says that Tyler owes me money. So that doesn't cause a transfer. But says Reb Chaim, theoretically, if there was a way to be makne, if there was a kinyan that worked, for example, ma'iman shlashtan, or ma'na shchiv meira, so then, it would work. Those are drabana. But the point is that it could work. Oh. And that's the pshat. Kinyan shtaros midar chazos, meaning to say al deksiva and mesira, doesn't work. Right? If you held that osios niknos b'mesira, then it would be midar raisa. Now, ad kan Reb Chaim. Now, yesh la'ayin. According to this Mahalich, so again, why does Mechila work? Because it doesn't transfer Midrash. Okay, but they were misakein, it works Midrabana. Right? It's a very strange idea. Oh, they made this takana that it works. Midrash doesn't work, Midrabana it works. But still, you could do Mechila. That's like, you know, if Midrash, you know, Kesef is Kona Metaltala, and then Midrabana and Meshicha. But since only Midrabana, so backsies work. You know, I'm going to go ahead and I changed my mind. Let's give it back here. Right? So what does this mean? So Bishlam, if you say, like the other Rishonim, I could understand. Because then what's the Yisod? The Yisod is very simple. That Midrash, what's the Pshat? That you can't transfer a chol. It's non-transferable. So the best we could do is say, okay, the lokeach has its chus gvia. So lokeach has its chus gvia. The mocher, the chov, is still essentially to the mocher, because you can't transfer a chov. And remela, that's why if the mocher is mochel, then it's gone. If the mocher isn't mochel, since the lokeach has its chus gvia, he's allowed to collect. But if you hold like the Rambam is understood by Ruch Chaim, it doesn't make any sense. Because midrash, you can transfer a chov. Elamai, there's no mechanism. Well, chachamim were misakin a mechanism, so it should work. So why does mechila work? Okay, it's derabanan, but usually kinyanim derabanan work as well. So why should you say that mechila still applies? We don't understand why it makes sense that mechila works according to the Rambam as understood by Reb Chaim. The answer has to be no. That it's still true that you can't sell a raya. In other words, it's not the pshat that midrabanan and resakim that you could sell a raya. No. The chachamim, even according to the Rambam, or misakim, that even though you can't sell, even a chov is nitan l'mechira, but you can't transfer raya, so therefore memela, the lokeach just has a schos gvia. And that's why Mechila works. And that's why, for the Rambam, it's very easy to understand why, when on occasion they were misakein, that a chov could be transferred, like Ma'amad Shlashdan or Ma'amad Shchemira, then Mechila doesn't work. Again, that's not a raya for the Rambam, because Taisa Rashi will simply say, no, that Ma'amad Shchemira is like Yerusha. And Yerusha works even where Mechila doesn't work, because even though something isn't transferable, Yerusha is still shayach, as you see in a number of different places, like Tyler pointed out, according to the Ran in the Dharma, you can be morish, yisurei hanah, you can't be mochad. Okay, adkan. So that is the first school of thought. I said there's going to be four. We're in trouble. Okay, 4 minutes left, and we only did one. But the
one
first
minute.
Right, that's what's going to have to be. The first school of thought says that the reason why Mechila works is because Mechir Shtar is only Midrabanan, not Midoraisa. Either because Midoraisa Chol can't be transferred, or because Midoraisa, there's no mechanism for the transfer of the Chol, though theoretically it could be transferred. The second school of thought is Rabbeinu Tam. It's quoted in the Ritvan Kiddushin, among other places. You have it over here in your source sheets, on the top left column of the first page. And he says like this, a very, very fascinating idea. I'll read it quickly. First he says, well, it's not the pshat like the Rambam holds that Mechir Shtar is only Rabbanim, because why do we need a miyat for Ona? El atayim dekasav Rabbeinu Tam, deshnei shibudim yesh l'mal v'alalove, shibud ha'gof v'shibud nechasim. At least when there is a shibud nechasim, like in the Mel v'shtar, there's two shibud. Shibud Nechasim Zeh, Umedin Arif. What's the pshat in Shibud Nechasim? My Nechasim are like an Arif for my personal obligation. As we say, Kedam Rina Nechsoid Bar Inish, Inun Arvin Bey. That just like there's a Torah concept of an Arif for Chov, right? That whereby if I don't pay my Chov, my Arif has to pay. So, if I don't pay my chov, my nechasim have to pay, or you could collect from my nechasim. Rashi Kiddushin says that's the source for Shibudim and Deraisa. Vena malva yacholim kor shibur haguf. Shafilu evet ivri en gufo kanoi lagagre. Kol shekein zera. So now let's think about what happens when we do mechir shtaros. Mechir shtaros is actually midoraisa. But what am I able to transfer? Am I able to transfer the shibur haguf? Absolutely not. Why? What is a shibur haguf? A shibur haguf is a personal obligation to pay. That's not something that could be sold. Why? He says, even an Eved Ivri in Gufo Kano Lo Lagami. What does that mean? It means that if I'm a Ben Chorin, or a Jew, I cannot even sell the rights to you to force me to work. Right? Paul Choser Bo Ben Sayon. Even if I agree to work for you, I can quit midday, because it's true, I obligated myself to do a certain thing. I could change my mind. Certainly that can't be transferred. Okay, maybe sometimes if I change my mind and I cause you a loss, I'll have to compensate you in some way. But if I obligate myself, personal obligation, to pay Tyler, that's not something I could transfer to you. So what is transferable, though? The shiva nechasa. Those are certainly transferable. However, shiva nechasim are just like an arif. So when I sell you the shtar, midoraisa, I am giving you the shiva nechasim, but the shiva haguf remains to me. Now what is the shiva nechasim? It's an arif. What happens if the malva is mochel, the lova? Could he go collect from the arif? Of course not. So likewise, when the malva is mochel, in this case the mocher, the shiva haguf is gone, and memela, you can't collect from the arev, namely the loga. Great. What an amazing pshat. So that's why mechila works. Okay, the next pshat could be found in Rashi. Very short. Da'amar le loga, lelokeach lav bal dvar didiyat. This also seems to be the approach of the Ravid. If you go back to the Ravid on Lachiyad Beis, he writes, if I sell the debt to Phil, and Phil tries to collect from Tyler, if Tyler could say to Phil, I was not machayev myself to you, and therefore you can't collect. Well, then why could you collect if I'm not mocha? So presumably this group of school of thought, it's a little more complex, but we'll simplify for purposes of time, the pshat is like this, that you, when I sell the chov to Phil, he can collect essentially as my agent. It's almost like a harsha of sorts. Memela, as long as I'm into it, Tyler can't say lav bal didiyat, because you're as my agent. I can authorize you to collect and even keep the money. But once I am mochel, so then Tyler could say lav bal dvar didiyat, meaning to say, the whole idea, Rashi, Ravid could agree with all the pshatim we said before, that midoraisa, you can't transfer a chov because it's non-transferable or because there's no kinyan or the like. Not only that, midoraisa, midrabanan, you can't. All mechir shtar chov is that it gives you the ability to collect on my behalf and keep it yourself. So should I change my mind, then he could say lav dvar didiyat. And that's why the Ravid says, lefikach, im kasav lo b'shtar chovo hareini meshubad l'cha l'cha l'abayim mikolchacha. So let's say Tyler in the original shtar chov wrote to me, I'm meshabed myself to you and everybody else who's coming, so then I can't be mocha. Okay, the last pshat that we'll have to just summarize and not read is Rabbeinu Hananel, which is quoted in this Ramban over here. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel writes like this: Hamocher shtachov l'chaver v'chazal machol machol perush. Rabbeinu Hananel mishum diyachol lemeimar iyanti bechush benai v'lo pashli gabei v'lo midi. In other words, I sell the debt to Phil. Phil tries to collect. Well, I could say, actually, it turns out that that Tyler paid already. Obviously, then you can collect from him. That's not actually so obvious, because usually migus don't work if it mouths did others, but that's another issue. Now, okay, well, that's great in theory, But in practice, l'maisa, it's not true, and it's not what I said. So the Ramban says this doesn't really make any sense. But if it does make any sense, what does it mean? V'nir shakach huzal mefarish, demigud yofel meymar lo pashli gabei v'lo midi, lo estalek leme hai shtar legami. The fact that I could say this shows that I'm still shayach to the shtar. V'adayim b'shuso hu omeid, v'yofel mochlo, I'm still the bala shtar, because I could say this, so memeil I could be mochlo. This relates to the idea of migus being biyados, or biyados being like a type of kinyan and the like. So again, there's still a number of questions on this Rach, as Ramban notes, but it's a really fascinating idea, which we don't have time to explain. So we'll stop here. And Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we're going to pick up. So again, the first thing I want to do is to discuss the issue of psak, namely, under what circumstances could you... would we force, if ever, the woman to pay in terms of her ability to sell her stuff, whether it's nechsei malug or suba or the like? And that's true both with respect to cases where she caused damage to another person, and especially in the Gemara that we're about to read, if she causes damage to the baal. What do we do when she causes damage to the baal? And would she ever have to pay and the like? So that's going to be the first thing, and then we'll go on, Be'ezras Hashem. Hopefully we'll get finished.